Everybody start making your way in. Here they go. All right, well, good morning. I had the privilege of having the welcome this morning, and I was thinking a couple of days ago when Will reminded me and asked me if I'd forgotten. I said, yeah, I did forget. Thanks for reminding me that I had to welcome about what to say this morning. Last night, I had something prepared, and I changed it just because last night. But here's the deal about this morning. I have so many stories when I coach baseball that is incredible. It's just funny, the things that come to me. But I got to thinking about this morning. One year, I think when I was coaching and the kids were probably 9 and 10 maybe. You know, the hardest part about coaching is you always have to have people that sit on the bench. Because if you only had 9, somebody doesn't show up. So you always have at least 10 or 11 people on the team. And as a coach, I always hated the idea of having to tell somebody they're not starting the game. I just did. I just had a hard time with that. But I learned to do it. And when they were about 9 or 10, early in the season, man, we had worked, and I thought I had my kids ready to go, and everything was fine. And when we were about to play an early game during the season. It wasn't our first game, but it might have been the second or third. And I was standing in front of the dugout, and my team was in the field, and they were warming up and getting ready to go. You know, we're ready to play baseball. And my two players that were the subs for that game were on the bench behind me. And I was standing at the dugout watching my kids warming up and getting ready. My pitcher's throwing. I'm all set. And I hear one kid behind me say to the other, he said, I come for the hot dogs. Why are you here? He put things in perspective for me. And I got to thinking about that last night and this morning. So my question for you is, why are you here? Why are you here? If you're here for the hot dogs, I got bad news for you. We're not cooking today. But the question is, why are you here today? Are you here to get filled up? Because if you are, you're in the right place. If you're here to worship your Lord, you're in the right place. Here's what's fixing to happen. Most everybody here has been here before, I believe. But if you haven't, these folks are fixing to bring it to us, praise and worship. And what I want to encourage you to do is allow the words that they sing to sing through your heart to God. And you do that. So why are you here this morning? I want you to be here to worship and to get filled up. All right? Let's do it.
Let's stand and worship. Thank you. Thankful this morning for your grace, Father, that through it all, God, that through the darkest night of the soul, God, you're there with us. You're there with the happy times, the bad times, God, and we give you praise for that this morning, God. We're just so thankful for who you are, what you do, God, and we love you and we praise you.
You reached out in love to me. We praise you, Jesus.
Actually gave me this verse prior to the service. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But from there you will search again for the Lord your God. And if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you will find him. In the distant future, when you are suffering all these things, you will finally return to the Lord your God and listen to what he tells you. For the Lord your God is merciful God. He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the solemn covenant he made with your ancestors. Even before Jesus came, he was there. Even before Jesus was on the cross, he promised to not abandon us or not destroy us and be merciful. He is a wonderful, loving, beautiful God that we get to serve. He fills our hearts with joy and peace. He's there for us in every single moment that we need. He is a good God. Amen.
Whoa.
God, thank you so much for your presence, God. As it fills our hearts, God, we're thankful, Father. We put all our trust in you, God, and we're thankful for your grace and your mercy, God. And today we just lay it down to you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Wow, what a great old part of an old hymn song that's just still powerful today. And all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Thank you for being here today. Glad you're here. If you're a guest for the first time, on your way out, if you'll pick up this tumbler that's at the doors, we just thank you for being here. If you're a member, stop stealing them. It costs you $10, and that goes to missions. But because we love you so much, if you ask me, if you really got to have one, Billy, you've been so faithful, I'm just going to give you one. And see, we'll freely give it to you. Just don't steal it. But fill out your connection card, if you will. And I feel good this morning. Feel good. Feels good to feel good, doesn't it? I've been sick, and I've been well, and I like well. I want to tell you a story this morning, a real story that happened in our family several weeks ago. And I'm telling this story to give you a relationship principle that's not in the plan. But Mark Goss, my nephew, has a son named Landon, and Landon's like 10 years old. And they were having dinner several weeks ago, and at the dinner table, he has a sister named Kayla. Well, Kayla has a, and her dad, his dad, are not the same. She has a different biological dad. Well, they're sitting talking. She mentions her other daddy, and Landon says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought Mark's your daddy." I said, "Well, Mark is my daddy, but I have a biological daddy." And he looked at her and said, "Your daddy's a scientist?" So I just wish I'd have been at that table. But here's a principle that I've used over the years, and I stopped using certain terms. I don't use terms stepbrother, stepsister, half-brother, half-sister. I don't use term stepdaddy, stepmother. And I'll tell you why. Because when you marry, you marry into it. And so a brother's a brother, and a sister's a sister, and a daddy's a daddy, and a mother's a mother. And so never use those terms, because to me it just has a connotation to it that's not quite as positive. It's you're married into it, they're not any longer. They're your father, they're your daddy, they're your sister, they're your brother. Amen? Okay, I'm glad you agree with that. All right, we're going to talk. We've been in a series about relationships, relational wholeness, and I'm glad you're here, because if you will take these three principles today and leave from here, your relationships are going to be better. Say better. How many aren't you glad to know that things can get better? You know, you can't stop the clock. I can't stop from getting older, but I can make things better in my life. I thank God for that. I want to first of all define the word better. Here's a definition of better. Superior in quality, more advantageous, desirable or serviceable, improved circumstances. How many would love to be better? Superior in quality, more advantageous, desirable or serviceable, improved circumstances. Improved circumstances. You see, God wants your relationships better. He wants your relationship with your children better, with your wife better, your husband better, your friends better. He wants everything to get better in your life. And I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to present a challenge to you at the close of this, a 30-day challenge. And so stay with me, because as we go through this, then it'll help you to make this challenge. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or come to the altar and to do this 30-day challenge, but I want you to do a 30-day challenge with me. And I guarantee you, if we all together do this 30-day challenge, it's going to be quite something. But there's three ways you can make your relationships better. Three simple ways. Number one, by believing that the best is yet to come. By believing that the best is yet to come. Now, y'all know that's my mantra. It's been my mantra for years. If you haven't heard me say that, you haven't listened. The best is yet to come. Now, I want to give to you some scriptures on why I believe that, why we believe that, and why we ought to believe that, okay? And here's some scriptures that will let you see that the best is yet to come. In 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21, because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place. Listen, until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts or rises in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy of Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and spoke from God. But what I want you to see is the principle that Peter's getting across, that the lamp of the Spirit of God comes and it shines in our hearts in a dark place that once was, until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shine, rises in your hearts. You see, what began in your experience with Christ was a beginning, but it's a rising star, more and more and more, shining and shining until a brighter day. Aren't you glad of that? In Genesis 1, 3 through 5, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed, watch, evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. You see, God began in the darkness of the first day. See, we start our day in the morning and we go to night. And we call it a day. You know, you get up in the morning, you go to work, and you say, you go to bed at night, well, this day is done. God has a principle that he starts at night and he comes to the day. See, God starts wherever you are and whatever's happening in your life. And he says, here's the principle. Every doctrine in the Bible is found in Genesis. Every truth you'll ever need to know is found in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. And this principle is things get brighter. Okay. All right, let's see. I got four people bought into that. Four people really bought into that. Things are going to get better. All right, here's a... another principle. Jesus goes to a wedding, and they give out a wine, and the mother, they come to the mother, Jesus' mother, and said, man, they're all upset. They got this big wedding going on, and they're out of wine. The mother said, just be calm. Whatever my son tells you to do, do it. And Jesus takes water pots, and he says, fill those six water pots with water, and then take them to the host. And they took the water pots, and as they were taking them, they turned into wine. And they gave it to the guests, and it brought cheer to all the guests because they said, you know, most of the time they give the bad wine, the good wine first. And after men are well drunk, they bring out the bad stuff because nobody knows what's happening. He says, but you know, you did it different. You saved the best for last. Because God always saves the best for last. Y'all got to buy into this because this is good stuff. He saves the best for last. Your best days are ahead of you. They're ahead of you. This is a little, 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 21. Let me read this one. For the Lord is a spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord who is a spirit makes us more and more like him as we're changed into his glorious image. Wow. You know what's so great for Barbara is that I'm going to be more like Jesus next year than I am now. Wow. Wouldn't you love to be married to Jesus? I'm going to be more like Jesus next year than I am now. Why? Because I determined to. Yeah. 2 Corinthians, it's a little lengthy passage. It's not too long, 10 verses, but I'm doing this for a real good reason. In 2 Corinthians 5, for we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we'll have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we'll put on heavenly bodies. will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh, but it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God Himself has prepared for us this and has guaranteed He has given us His Holy Spirit. So we're always confident, even though we know as long as we live in these bodies, we're not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Here's what I want you to get. You know, there's a saying that I hear people say all the time, and it's not true. And it's this. Somebody will say something like, how you doing? Well, I'm above ground. You know, you ever heard that one? Or, you know, well, it beats the alternative. We really don't believe that, do we? Now, it says, now, we don't want to die. We don't want to die. You know, people who commit suicide don't commit suicide because they want to die. They don't want to live. That's the difference. They don't want to live. Living's that bad. And see, the fact of the matter is, though, the best is still yet to come. Even if I die, the best is yet to come. I get a body that's different from this body that has no sighing, no groaning, no moaning. I don't have to diet. I don't have to do anything like that. I don't have to exercise. It's going to be the perfect physique. Don't have to do anything. That's pretty good future, isn't it? All right, good. So you don't say that from now on. It beats the alternative. If we're going to believe it, let's believe it, okay? It don't beat the alternative. It's a good saying. No, it's not a good saying. It's a bad saying. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. Number two, how to have a better relationship? By maintaining your relationship. Say maintaining. My daddy was a mechanic, and daddy taught us how to maintain our automobiles. He was huge on maintaining our automobiles. Change the oil. Do this. Check this. One day I'm riding down the road in a car that he had bought me, and all of a sudden I hear this loud noise, and it stops. And I call him. I said, the car that you bought me broke. Daddy comes and gets us, calls a wrecker, brings it home, doesn't say anything, goes into the house, we go into the kitchen, and we have a heart-to-heart talk. What did I tell you about the oil in the car? Check the oil. You know what happened? You didn't check your oil, and you slung a rod. Sling a rod. In other words, that means it's gone. You have just really broke. Now, let me show you. If you maintain, my daddy used to tell me about race NASCAR. You know, everybody that's on that track, not there to win. They're just there to get lap money. They know they're not going to win. They're not even there to win. There's only 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them that they think they got a chance. Paul says, don't run this race like you don't want to win. Run this race like you want to win. Run this race like you want to win. Live this life like you want to live. Live this life like you want to win. Amen? This is good right here. What's next is always connected to what's now. If you want next to be better, make now better. It's good, ain't it? You can use that in your coaching, Joy. All right. What's next is always connected to what's now. Because, you see, if you're thinking tomorrow's going to be better than today, it's not. If today's not better, tomorrow's not going to be better. If you don't change something today, tomorrow's going to be the same. Okay, I'll preach over you. If you don't change today, tomorrow's going to be the same. It's going to be the same. Today is today. If I'm going to make it better, I'm going to make it better today. If I'm going to love tomorrow, I'm going to love today. If I'm going to be kind tomorrow, I'm going to be kind today. See, what's next is always connected to what's now. It's just not going to get better without you doing something about it. Some people like the idea of relationships. But there's a hidden cost. Jesus looked at his disciples one day and he said, you really want to follow me? You really want to be my disciple? How many really want to be his disciple? How many really want a better life? He said several things about what a disciple of his is. But he said three specific things that's so important. These are not in your notes. You want to write them down. They're great points. First thing, one thing Jesus said to his disciples, deny yourself. Deny yourself and follow me. It means you got to give up your life for somebody else's life. That's what denying self is. I'm going to deny my desires and my wants for yours. See, this is still what it's all about. Now, here's the plan. Here's the key to that. It sounds horrible. I'm going to deny myself. I'm not going to let myself have anything. The fact of the matter is, if I deny myself, I'll get everything. See, that's the switch. If I deny myself and prefer Barbara, I'm going to get everything. You know, just commend you, Dusty. Today's your anniversary, 12 years. Happy anniversary. And I can't believe it's been 12 years. And her husband is in Alaska fishing. Wife of the century. Wife of the century. You know, but you know, that's denying yourself, really. How many know there's a lot of women get pretty upset on the 12th anniversary of husbands in Alaska fishing? Hey, but one other woman I know about that, and that'd be my wife. She let me do that. Like mother, like daughter, like mother. So, anyway, I know some of you don't believe in that, but you need to deny yourself and let him go fishing. All right. Deny yourself. Number two, take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross, not his cross, her cross, their cross, your cross. Because everybody has their own cross. And take up your cross and follow me. And your cross is your responsibility. And here's your cross. If you want a good relationship, this is what Jesus said. If your brother asks you to go a mile, go with him too. If he asks for your coat, give him your cloak also. What if in all our relationships, whatever we're asked and called upon to do, we went the extra mile? Wow. If Barbara asked me to clean up the kitchen, I cleaned up the den and the kitchen. Yeah. Or she asked me to take out the trash, I take out the trash and I do something else on top of that. And so, yeah. You say, that won't work. You better believe it will work. You better believe it will work. Go the second mile. That's what relationship, that's what discipleship is. Did Jesus go the second mile? Went the second, third, fourth, fifth mile. Will you go the extra length? That's what relationship's all about. Go a little bit further. Another time, a man looked at Christ and said, I'll follow you. I'll be your disciple. But let me first go back and bury my mother and my father. And that sounds like a pretty good reason, don't you think? Now, here's the fact of the matter is they weren't dead. He said, let me go back and bury my mother and my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. If you're going to be my disciple, follow me. Don't let other relationships interfere with the primary relationship that is. Don't let other relationships interfere with the primary relationships that there is. You have a relationship with God that should be first and foremost, and no other relationship should interfere with that relationship. There's relationships you have with your wife or your husband that no other relationship should interfere with that relationship. You have a relationship with your children that no other relationship should interfere with that relationship with those kids. Sometimes we let other relationships interfere, and that's all Jesus is saying. Don't let other relationships interfere with what's what's primary, what's most important. Last thing on maintaining. To make it better, you got to make it stronger. You see, if someone is sick and you ask them, how are you? And if they say they're better, I assure you what they're really saying is they're stronger. Because here's the deal. You got to get stronger to get better. The Bible says that we go from strength to strength. From glory to glory. Wow. Better is good. But to get better, you got to get stronger. You got to get stronger. Just got to let that sink in. If I want it better, I want it stronger. It's got to be stronger. Relationships should get stronger and stronger and stronger. There's a man named Elijah, a great prophet, and a mentor of his named Elisha. And Elisha wanted what Elijah, who he was, not what he had. He wanted who Elijah was. Why does a 30-year-old bombshell marry an 85-year-old billionaire? Anybody know? How many know a 30-year-old bombshell don't marry an 85-year-old billionaire because of who he is? She marries him for what he has. No relationship should be built on what they have. It should be built on who they are. And Elisha says, I want who you are, Elijah. And so he starts out following Elijah, and Elijah does something strange. He turns around to him in this relationship, this very close relationship, and he says to Elisha, stop following me. You know what? 99% of people would say, the devil did that. It had nothing to do with the devil. Elijah said to Elisha, stop following me. Most of us would give up. Right, okay. You don't want me. I don't want you. Most people, just as soon as that prophet turned around and said, stop following me. Stop trying to get too close to me. Stop trying to get next to me. Stop. Okay. You hurt my feelings. I'm going home. You're never going to get anywhere like that. You want a relationship? Go after the relationship. Go after the relationship. One of my first mentors was a man named Dave Hunt. Dave Hunt's gone on to be with the Lord. I loved him dearly. He became a very close friend of mine. It was an Elijah relationship. More than one time, pretty much, I got from him, stop bugging me. Now, he didn't ever say that, but how many know you don't have to say certain things to get the message from somebody? Stop bugging me. You ever got that message? Nobody said a word? Yeah. Yes, you have. You've been around somebody, and you get from them, back up. Back up. You know, and I just followed him and went after him. I never gave up because I wanted a relationship with that man, and I got it. But it wasn't easy. 3 years ago, they called me to ask me to be a part of his funeral. You know why? I didn't give up. People give, you know, when you're going down this road of relationships, there's a lot of exits. You can take the ramp if you want to. A lot of exits, you can take that ramp. You can take it. But the journey is worth the distance. The journey's worth the distance. The relationship is worth the drive. It's worth the turmoil. It's worth the pain. It's worth the struggle. It's worth it. Because when you get the further along you get down the road, you're going to be so grateful and so thankful that you didn't take the exit ramp. There's plenty of them. They're real tempting to take. Don't take the exit ramp. You'll be glad you didn't. Whether it's a marriage, a friendship. And tell you the most important thing, I said this in the beginning of this series, the most important thing there is in life is your relationships. Nothing more important. It's why the old songwriter said, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Because relationships are more important. The best is yet to come. Say the best is yet to come. I got to get stronger every day. If I get stronger tomorrow, I'll be better. If I get stronger today, for tomorrow to be better. It's good stuff, ain't it? Yeah, it's good stuff. Number three, Kitty. Would be probably everybody here been in relationships long enough, have had moments where restoration needed to take place. But look at me before we get into this last part. Thank God for restoration. Everybody say, thank God for restoration. Thank God that He restores relationships. Thank God that He has restored my life. Thank God that He can take something that's broke and fix it. He can take a life that's gone astray and bring them back in line. Hallelujah. But look at this guy. I love restoration. But restoration is hard. It's hard. It's not easy. Thank God for it. But listen, darling, look at me and listen. Maintaining your relationships is so much easier than restoring your relationships. Because restoration is tough. This church is known for the ministry of restoration. We've restored ministers. And you think, we got this golden star for our ministry of restoration. Let me tell you something, it's not easy to restore. It costs. In the process right now with a long distance phone call, helping restore relationship. It's hard. It's hard. But if you do restore it, you got to do this. You got to repent. You got to change the way you think about it. Change the way you think about it. Stop thinking the way you're thinking. Stop stinking thinking. Because what you think, guess what? What you think about it is what's going to happen. You know what I love about Barbara, of a whole bunch of other things? I get exactly what I expect from her. I've always gotten exactly what I expect. If I expect this, I get it. If I expect this, it goes for everything, though. I knew you was going to do that. Well, you got it. You got what you expected. Hello. Oh, I knew you was going to react that way. Well, then be happy. You got what you expected. Let me tell you what you got to have always. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what's greater than faith. I got your attention. Linda looked straight up. What? What's greater than faith? You know what's greater than faith? Colossians chapter 1 says, I thank God of every mention of you in my prayers. I thank God for your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for the love you have for all the saints and for the hope that's laid up for you in heaven. You see, hope is so important. He says, I'm just not going to trust you with hope. I'm going to reserve it for you in heaven. It's in a heavenly place. It's in a realm for which you can draw it from anytime. It's above circumstances. It's above heartache. It's above pain. It's above situations like this and situations like that, because hope is the expectation of something good that's going to happen. And he says, I'm taking this hope and I'm storing it up for you in heaven. So when you come to a place and you need hope, he said, you need faith, then faith is a substance of things, what? Hope for. You've got to have hope before you have faith. Hope is what faith and love hinge on. It's the door that makes life happy. It's the door that gets us in and gets us out of circumstances and situations. It's, I've got hope. I got hope. I got the expectation of something good is going to happen. Sometimes for restoration, I got to learn new patterns. If it ain't working, stop. You used to hear people, how's that working for you? If it's not working, learn something new. I had a horrible golf game the other day. Man, it was terrible. Really bad. I don't play enough to have a great game, but this was beyond bad. And I was coming home, and I always think back. I mean, I'd hit one shot, look like I was a pro. And then the next shot I'd hit, I don't know where, I don't know how I did that. I couldn't have done that if I tried. And so I'm thinking, and I happened to put my hands together, and I realized, wow, I looked down. That's a terrible grip. And that grip not going to work. And I just remember, I got to bring this around. I got to adjust the grip. You see, it's not big things that need to change. Little things. Y'all, come on in. Little things. Y'all, look at me, because this is important. You don't need a huge makeover. You just need a little change, a little adjustment. Don't ever... I looked at our new drawing on the board out there. Will pointed out to me, and it's our year-long theme of launch. Launch. And how are you going to launch this year? How are you going to launch into a better relationship? How are you going to launch? Don't despise little things. Little changes is huge. Little changes is huge. Last but not least, forget the past. Forget the past. You can't forget in your mind anything that's ever happened to you. You can choose not to remember it. I've said this many times over the years, but this is so important in relationships. Jesus, God, can't forget your sins. Just like you can't forget them. But you can choose not to remember them. To remember them means you're not going to go back and get them, bring them back up, and remember them. You put them back together. The past is the past. Let it stay there. Let it stay there. And here's the challenge I'm going to give you. I'm a week ahead of you, so I've been practicing, so I wanted to practice, make sure. I don't want to tell them to do something I ain't doing. So I practiced this for a week. Been kind of fun. You ready? Here's a 30-day challenge. Proverbs. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words makes tempers flare. 30-day challenge. Don't respond to anything or anybody other than with a gentle spirit. Whew. I was going to do a 90 day, but I went, no, they're going to fall out. I was going to do a 90 days. No, no, no. Let's go 30 days. How am I going to do that? Don't take anything personally. Now, if Barbara says it to me, it's personal. No, it's not. Not unless you take it personally. You'd be surprised. I have some things that agitate me. I know y'all don't think I do because I seem like I'm just this low-key, easygoing, nothing bothers me type guy. I try to emanate that coming across. I want to be cool, calm, and collective. I do a pretty good job fooling a lot of people that too. But there are certain things that it just agitate me. And certain things Barbara does, don't tell her, agitates me. Don't tell her, though. But I started this week with a gentle response to everything. And I'm not going to let anything destroy, disrupt my life. I can keep it peaceful. You know about the Bible? He that ruleth his own spirit is better than the man who can take a city. Self-control is the most powerful thing on the face of the earth. Wow. All right, I'm not going to get you to raise your hands. Just close your eyes. And I'm assuming that everybody here is going to buy into this 30-day challenge with me. I'm going to respond to every circumstance and everything that comes my way with gentleness, gentleness, gentleness. Wow. You with me? See those hands. More than that, it'll work. It will work. Had a guy in church years ago. Every time his wife got upset with him and started arguing with him, he started speaking in tongues. I don't advocate that one. It sounds spiritual, but I don't advocate that. But what he was doing was bringing himself under control. It worked. It worked. Amen. We got a water baptism, and this is what I want to do. We're a little early that we're going to have water baptism, then we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And I got one other thing I want us to do together, okay?
Good morning. I'm Keith Wesley, Associate Pastor here at Eagles Way Church, and I'm so excited to be involved in the water baptism of Caitlin Bliss today. Water baptism is a very special event, and to me it's just an honor and a blessing just to be involved in a young person's life that has committed their self to the Lord and just being obedient to the Lord in baptism. And there's a lot of reasons that we do water baptism, and Caitlin will share her personal one. But one of the things today that I wanted to say to you as we get ready for the baptism is that it's an outward expression of an inward feeling that she has. Yeah, she's demonstrating to this whole congregation something that has changed in her life, and that she's actually doing her funeral today. She's going to be buried, the old Caitlin, into the water, which represents the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be part of that resurrection that brings her up as a new person to live a new life, that everything all of a sudden changes. And it becomes a really physical testimony of her faith and the grace of God that has worked in her life. Anytime her mind doubts that she's been saved, she can always go back to this day when she was physically buried and resurrected. And today all of you get to see her, and I just encourage you to watch Caitlin and encourage her in her walk with the Lord as you see around the church. And again, it's just exciting to be a part of a water baptism today.
My name is Caitlin Bliss, and my parents are Jeanette Bliss and Barry Bliss. I asked Jesus into my heart with Pastor Holly in Children's Church. I want to get water baptized because God says so.
This is Royce Brown, a good friend, and I am just truly delighted to be a part of his baptism. This man has desired to be baptized for several months, and we just couldn't get it all put together, and today he's coming. Royce went in the hospital, and he was a pretty sick man, and I remember going and visiting with him, and he said, you know, I've got to get baptized. Royce has made a commitment in his heart to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and to him today, this water baptism is such a significant part of his walk with the Lord, and it's just going to be the thing that just really seals it for you, Royce. And just look at all the witnesses that are watching you today, joining you in your faith, and it'll be just such a blessing to do this today. So,
thank you.
Okay. Royce, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, into the Lord Jesus Christ. Got one more. A lot of you know Lonnie Hughes. Lonnie's been in the church most of his life. Lonnie was baptized a long time ago, and his life is just, as he's grown up and experienced adulthood, there's been some things in Lonnie's life that he just couldn't shake off. And today he's coming. It's been a really new commitment in him. I think all the staff here, we've seen something change in Lonnie. And today he's coming to be rebaptized. There's a lot of things in his life that today his faith is saying, I want to leave those things here in this baptism pool with the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be resurrected as a brand new person, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And his life is really going to be different. Watch this guy. He's going to be different. Lonnie, it's a pleasure to baptize you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ushers be coming to receive the morning tithes and offers. While they're doing that, I want to close with this song. And here's what I want, I want you to sing it with me today, because this is what we talked about. The more I seek you, the more I'll find you. The more I do these things that I need to do, the more and the better things will be. It's the more and the more, it's the better and the better. Amen. So we can decide today to make tomorrow better. I got to make today better. Tomorrow's great, but tomorrow's not here. Let that sink. Tomorrow's great, but tomorrow's not here. You know what? All you have is today. You don't have yesterday. You don't have tomorrow. I just have today. So, if I'm going to be better tomorrow, and start today. Let's stand and sing this from our hearts as a prayer to the Lord.
Y'all have a great day. See you next week.